A Resistance to Pressure by Steve Gallagher, with Gareth Armstrong as Dr. Peter Lewis, John Rowe as Inspector Stoker, and Michael McStay as Sergeant Reed.
Damn fine, you know. The film's got to be in telecine in less than an hour.
Oh, that's no problem.
Well, not if it doesn't need cutting, it isn't.
Well, I thought we could put it to the end. Give ourselves a bit more time.
Well, you can think it again. I'm not moving Zimbabwe for this. Get it rolling.
Shot three, take one.
I'm standing outside an unassuming Victorian house in the centre of Chiswick. Local residents have been surprised and angered to find that for more than 18 months, the building has been operating as an emergency treatment clinic and induction centre for the rehabilitation of some of London's hardline drug addicts. Events were brought to a head this week by the death on the premises of 23-year-old Julian Tozer. A post-mortem found his death to be due to an overdose of heroin that was allegedly administered by Dr. Peter Lewis, the supervising medical officer at the centre, and representative of the foundation which supports...
Can we spin on a bit? I saw all this yesterday.
Yeah, sure, sure. Did you see the interview with Lewis?
No.
This is it now.
It's all... Of course it's usual to have hard drugs on the premises. I'm a doctor. I run a clinic. It's not somewhere we hand out smarties to anybody after a free fix, but our main concern is to get these addicts off the streets and motivated towards one of our rehabilitation centres.
And supplying them with hard drugs is part of that process?
I designed the process we use here at the centre, and prescription is a part of it. It lets me drive a wedge between the addict and his supplier.
But other centres around the country don't see the need to operate in this way. Several of those we checked with don't even have a resident medical officer.
Oh, no two centres are the same. The point isn't valid.
How do you react to the criticism that's been made that you're making drugs too freely available in order to boost the centre's throughput so that it will reflect well on the foundation that sponsors it and on yourself?
Well, that isn't a criticism. That's a slander.
Dr. Lewis has been a rising star, not only in the medical profession, but also in the social scene, since his marriage to the daughter of industrial magnate John Farmer in 1975. Born Peter Liawski in 1948, Lewis was the son of a steelworker and Polish immigrant.
Later on, we've used nearly all of the interview.
He didn't get awkward.
Oh, he loved every minute of it. It was his idea to film inside the clinic. And he's very, articulate.
That's the word.
Look, it's getting late. Where's the bit you wanted to look at?
Just coming up. See what you think.
So the conclusion at the inquest was that Julian Tozer was a victim of his own misadventure. Tozer, said the coroner, Tozer lied about his medical history in order to obtain a supply of heroin, which he used to augment that which he'd smuggled into the centre. His consequent death was an unfortunate tragedy which should in no way detract from the exemplary work that was being carried out at the centre by Dr. Lewis. Those who live nearby found it impossible to be quite so benign over the whole affair.
I want to know who gave him permission to start this kind of set-up here. There's no call for it in this area. All he's going to do is attract all the wrong sort of people in from outside.
You want to know what I think? I think he should pack his bloody bags and...
Oh, damn, did the language get worse?
Oh, much worse.
Ah, cut it.
I could use a bleep on it.
No, cut it. Keep it for the Christmas party.
I don't know if Lewis has had his hands on you yet, has he?
No, he hasn't.
Anyway, when he does, get him to explain all the ins and outs to you. The money you put into the foundation doesn't actually cost you anything, because a decent accountant should be able to get it all laid off against the tax. And the publicity you get back's like gold dust.
But presumably the publicity is not guaranteed.
Damn right it isn't. But you wouldn't want a formal arrangement anyway. Word of that got out, you'd appear as some kind of social mercenary.
Last thing I'd want.
Exactly.
Oh, it's all right, no guarantees, but what kind of assurance would I get?
Leave that to Peter. He'll see you looked after. He's got all the connections you could want. What you want to do is to... Wait a minute, there he is. Peter!
Somebody want me?
Over here, Peter.
Oh, excuse me.
Don't think you've met Gordon Payne, have you?
Oh, I'm pretty sure I haven't.
I arrived late. I'm hearing all about you. Only good things, I hope.
I've been telling Gordon about the foundation. He's interested.
Ah, don't misinterpret.
It's all right.
When I married into this family, I didn't get a father-in-law. I got an agent.
You got the best of the deal. Here was I, thinking that with a doctor in the family, I was going to be looked after in my old age.
But it sounds like the work's socially necessary.
That's what I keep telling him.
As long as the rest of the world thinks so, eh?
Doctor, you're in trouble. There you are.
It's Wyndham's wife. Silly cow's drunk again, and it isn't even midnight.
John, Gordon, are you monopolising our doctor?
Hello, Joanna. Are we being antisocial?
You most certainly are. Caged up in a corner talking about business, I'll bet. I'm surprised you haven't put the doctor to sleep.
Not at all.
Well, I'm going to take him off with now. Come along, Dr. Lewis. You can tell me all about those dreadful addicts you have to deal with. Sounds fascinating.
Well, the centre's only a small part of the foundation, Mrs. Wyndham.
Oh, do call me Joanna.
I'll see you later, Mr. Payne. Call me Gordon.
Damn. I'm sorry about that. We'll try and get hold of him again later.
That's all right. Now the ice is broken, he can get in touch with me sometime next week.
John, have you seen Peter anywhere?
Hello, Blanche.
Hello, Gordon. Oh, sorry to interrupt, but there's someone on the telephone for Peter.
He was here not 2 seconds ago. Joanna must have dragged him off. You've only just missed them.
Oh, it's this awful house. When all the doors are open, it's more like a maze.
Late to be telephoning, isn't it?
Yes, and on New Year's Eve, too. Peter usually manages to keep his business and pleasure well separated. Still, there's one advantage.
What's that?
Well, if Blanche is tied up looking for Peter, she may not have time to dig out that bloody awful Jimmy Shan record.
What kind of people are they?
Well, there's no one answer. And there's no particular social type.
Surely they're hopeless cases anyway. I mean, they can't go around complaining when they brought it all on themselves.
It's not really as simple as that. Most people never see beyond the surface. Drug abuse is an answer to a problem. Getting people off the stuff's the easy part. Giving them a reason not to go back to it is the whole point behind the programs.
Now, I think you're being too easy on them.
Maybe. Do you ever take a tranquilizer?
Well, sometimes, the only way I can get through the day. But you wouldn't be comparing me with those people, would you?
Of course not.
You're joking with me, aren't you?
Just a bit.
You are a tease. Now, tell me about the pushers.
What?
You know, pushers. Like on Kojak. Get out of Blackstone now, don't you?
Well, not especially. Not outside of on television.
Oh, that reminds me. Robert said you were on the other night.
Yeah, that's right. All because of that bloody idiot Tozer. I could strangle him.
Rather late for that. Oh, sorry.
Well, I rescued what I could. I just had to cool off the fundraising for a while, that's all.
Is that you, Mrs. Wyndham?
Oh, good heavens, Catherine. Don't be so formal. You're grown up now, dear. Call me Joanna. You've got something to say to our doctor. Come along then, Joanna. Time for a tactful withdrawal. See you both at midnight.
Well, I assume you have got something to tell me?
Only to stop being so blatantly obvious.
What do you mean?
I mean, it's perfectly clear what you're up to when you work your way through a shortlist of the better-off people at the party and bore them stiff talking about your clinic.
I'm not working my way through anybody. I was talking to your father when the old bag grabbed me and practically dragged me off by my braces.
Peter!
She's gone. She can't hear me.
Believe it or not, Peter, Daddy hasn't thrown this party so that you can go around banging a drum to get donations for your dropouts fund.
I'm not so sure.
What's that supposed to mean?
He's the one that's making all the introductions.
That's no excuse for you to go on and on about those people.
But it's what they want to hear.
It's not what I want to hear.
So don't listen.
Peter, will you stop and think for a minute how it reflects on me?
I don't see how it reflects on you at all.
Now you're being deliberately obstinate.
Look, I've got one value as far as this bunch is concerned, and that's curiosity value. I've got nothing else in common with them and nothing else to offer. Your father's pushing them all into putting money into the foundation because he thinks it's the only way he can buy a respectable background for his son-in-law.
That's unfair.
It's perfectly fair, and I accept it. It's a game with rules like anything else.
Asking people for money isn't a game. It's outright vulgarity.
Money. It means so little to these people that they're amused when I put the squeeze on. They laugh. Tell me I'm outrageous.
They're not these people. They're our friends, Peter.
And they're holding me at arm's length until they can be sure that I'm not just a social upstart who's married himself into circles above his station. The foundation and the clinic let me get a foothold on their consciences. And until I've got established, I can't let go.
Can I hear Peter there? Over here, Mummy. Oh, Peter, I've been looking everywhere for you. There was somebody on the telephone asking to speak to you, but that was a few minutes ago. They may have hung up.
Oh, which telephone?
The one in the hall. Oh, and Peter.
Yes?
Don't forget it's nearly midnight. You've been chosen to go out on first foot.
I thought you had to be tall and dark for that.
Well, it was John's idea. Don't forget.
I was.
Do you know who it was?
On the telephone. Well, they wouldn't give a name. Quite exciting, really. Might have been one of Peter's junkies.
You wouldn't be so excited if one of them were to turn up on our front doorstep.
Oh, no. They wouldn't, would they?
Hello?
Is that Dr. Lewis?
Yes, who's this?
The Dr. Lewis who owns the black Volvo parked outside?
Well, actually, it's blue. Why?
It looks black from here. I thought you'd like to know. There's somebody messing around with it.
Messing around? What do you mean?
Well, I'm on the other side of the road. I can see down into the drive. Somebody's doing something to your car.
Right, thanks. Well, nobody here. No sign of anything. Nothing underneath.
Very obliging of you, Doctor. Stay on your hands and knees. What? I won't hesitate to shoot.
What the hell?
I've got him.
Well, he'd never answer. I was running out of money.
Go through his pockets. Find his car keys.
Look, you're going to a lot of trouble just to steal my car.
Quiet, Doctor, and you won't get hurt. It's not your car we want.
Yeah, found them.
All right, Doctor. Get in the back and put your head right down near the floor. Don't try anything. Where's your bag?
My what?
Your medical case. Where is it?
I haven't got it. I'm supposed to be at a party.
Check in the boot.
Right.
You'd better have it with you, Doctor, or we'll have to go and get it.
Look, what are you after? Drugs? I hardly carry any. It's okay. It's there.
I'll leave it for now. You drive and I'll keep an eye on the doctor here.
Where are we going?
Best you don't know. Is there a radio?
I think so. Yes, there is.
I'll switch it on then. It'll stop him hearing things he shouldn't.
And taking us up to midnight and the chimes of Big Ben, we have music from Jimmy Shand and his band.
Some of you are trying to suffocate me or break my neck. Get this damn bag off my head, will you? Where are we?
I'm sure you don't really expect us to tell you.
We're wasting time. Did you get him?
No problem. This way, please, Doctor.
Well, better hurry. She seems to be getting worse. My God.
Don't marvel, Doc. Just help her.
She doesn't need a doctor. She needs a hospital and a bloody good one.
That's out of the question.
Why the...
It just is. Do something for her.
How did you get these injuries?
None of your business.
I think it is.
He's going to let her die.
I'm not letting anyone die if I can help it. But I tell you, she needs a hospital. She'll need blood, antibiotics, and a decently clean operating theatre. Not this filthy rat hole you've got her lying in. What she doesn't need is for you three to be playing damn silly games while she's bleeding to death.
Isn't there something...
No!
No hospital! Fix her up, Doctor.
She'll be dead by morning. Now what the hell is going on?
They patch up worse than this on the battlefield and send them home.
Not alive, they don't.
If she dies,
which she will,
you'll be in big trouble, and don't think we can't arrange it.
If you're so good at arranging things, arrange an ambulance.
Oh, maybe he's right.
Shut up!
Look, if she's going to die...
We discussed the possibility. She knew the risks. No ambulance and no hospital.
She won't keep on pumping out blood for you to mop up with those filthy towels forever. Look, I don't care who you are or what you've done, but clear off and leave her with me. If I call an ambulance and get some plasma into her on the way to hospital, she might just have a chance.
You're a doctor? Give her a chance.
A doctor, yes. A miracle worker, no. Is that explosion damage?
That's none of your business.
Better tell him.
Don't bother. I think it's safe to make an assumption. What was it, some kind of grenade?
No, it wasn't a grenade. And stop trying to pump information out of us.
The longer you leave it, the more you increase the risk of peritonitis. Can't you see that?
I can see fine, thanks.
She won't heal. She needs surgery, and you're preventing her from getting it. You're murdering her.
Look, what are we going to do?
Calm down. Is she likely to wake up?
What?
Damn it, Lewis, answer the question.
I've no idea. I doubt it. It's not going to make any difference to her at this stage.
Better give her a shot of something, then.
It'll take more than that.
It's all she can have. If she wakes up, I don't want her to hurt.
Very humane of you.
Don't get the idea. I like it. Don't you dare think that. But if the positions were switched, I'd expect exactly the same.
And what are you going to do about me? You going to kill me too?
Don't think we're not capable of it.
You're never going to be able to explain her death, let alone mine. Have you any idea how difficult it is to dispose of a body? You can't make someone disappear without a question being asked somewhere.
Don't fear for your own miserable hide, Doctor. We know all this, and we've got something neater.
Like what?
You'll find out soon enough. Open up the bag.
There.
Now, which of these is a sedative?
You think I'm going to tell you?
I do, and not because of the gun. You're going to tell me, because if you don't, I'm going to have to pick out something that looks likely and give it to her myself. And I warn you, I won't know what I'm doing. Are you prepared to stand and watch that?
Give me the bag.
No. Point to what you want.
One of the glass ampules out of that compartment. Fresh hypodermic and one of those sterile envelopes with needles.
These the ones?
Yes.
How much are you going to give her?
About half. I give her a full dose in this weakened condition. Might sedate her down to nothing. There. It'll stop any pain, but she's going to die anyway.
Right. Hold him still. Get his jacket off.
You pay
it now. Come on. Thank you for the demonstration of technique. Don't struggle, or I'm likely to mess up your arm with a needle. I'm sorry about this, but we need to keep you quiet for a while. I hope two of these isn't overdoing it, but you should be healthy enough to survive them.
Let me go!
You've had your chance, Doctor, and failed. Let me know when he starts to go limp.
He's going now.
What about her?
Take her keys. Bring her car around to the back doors.
We'll have to move. It's getting late. And somebody will have to clean up.
We can do that tomorrow if we have to. Tonight we'll concentrate on the setup for the afternoon.
All of us?
No. You'll be taking her car. You know what to do?
So you decided to surface at last?
What?
It's past 11. If you think I'm leaving you on that sofa while I've got things to do in this house, you can think again.
What do you mean? Why am I on the sofa?
Spare me the blank looks and the amateur dramatics. Just don't ever dare to show me up like you did last night.
Oh, what am I supposed to have done?
It's bad enough walking out on Daddy's party only minutes before midnight. Everybody assumed you were going out in connection with that telephone call. Daddy made excuses, but you could see he wasn't pleased. You had no right to walk out like that, Peter. You're not the only doctor in London. Someone else should have gone.
What time did I get back?
How am I supposed to know? It was after 4. And where did you take the car? It's absolutely filthy.
I'm not sure.
Peter!
I'm trying to remember.
You'll have to telephone Daddy and apologise. He had to get his own car out and bring me home.
It's all mixed up.
It was too embarrassing. I'm not going through that again. You'll have to be more responsible.
Needle tracks.
You made me look bad in front of my friends. Get yourself tidied up, Peter. We've got visitors. Now, I wonder... Oh, no.
What's the matter?
2 men. They look like policemen.
Well, how do you know?
I can tell. There's a middle-aged, obstinate-looking one and a younger one. They're wearing suits that look as though they've been slept in.
Yeah, join the club.
What do they want, Peter?
At least wait till they get in. They may not be policemen at all.
And what will that matter? Everybody in the street will have seen them.
Are you going to let them in or stand in a window giving a commentary?
It's too much, Peter. They're obviously here about one of your down-and-outs. It's all very glamorous and noble, but you'll have to keep it away from our home.
Oh, hell.
Good morning. Mrs. Lewis, is it? Oh, I'm sorry to disturb you, but I was wondering if Dr. Lewis was at home.
Who
shall
I say
wants him? Stoker. Detective Inspector Stoker. Mrs. Lewis?
Yes?
I wonder if we might come in. Our business is rather too private to be conducted on the step.
If you prefer.
Wipe your feet, Sergeant.
I was going to, anyway.
Ah, Dr. Lewis.
Good morning, Inspector. How can I help you?
Well... Firstly, I was wondering if you'd like to tell me anything.
Why don't we just get straight to the point instead, eh?
If you like. Michael Essman.
Do I know him?
You should. You killed him early this morning. I've got a warrant here for your arrest. Manslaughter. I'd have preferred murder, but I'm going to get the chance to tie it up so neatly with drugs offences that the difference will be academic.
It'll help compensate for me having to be dragged out so early on a New Year's morning.
Now, wait a minute. I've never even heard of this Michael Essman.
An American living in North London with his own small import and export business. He appears in your clinic's files.
I can't be expected to know every name in the files, and I don't see how you can go leaping to outrageous conclusions on the basis of a connection like that.
We've got more, Dr. Lewis, much more. I was simply giving you the chance to come up with it first, but it looks like you're going to be difficult, doesn't it?
Damn right I'm going to be difficult. This is ridiculous.
We missed you on Tozer. This time you weren't so careful. A child could have followed the trail from Essman to you. It's taken us 3 hours, that's all.
I think I've been framed.
It's about 20 minutes from here to the cells by car. It'll give you a chance to come up with a more original line than that. Read him his rights, Sergeant.
Count it?
What?
The change out of your pockets. No point signing it over to me if you haven't counted it.
I don't intend to be around long enough for it to matter. I'm entitled to a phone call, right?
Yes. You want to call your lawyer?
Damn right I do. It's about time we injected some sense into this farce. You'll have to give me the envelope back.
Why?
Because you've taken my address book off me, that's why.
Oh, sorry. Is this it?
Thanks. It's not going to work, you know.
How do you mean?
That simian boss of yours can't go bouncing people on a hunch and no evidence. And I don't want to pull the high social bit, but he's really picked the wrong man to take on.
I heard that, Lewis.
Look, I know for a fact that you can't have anything that can't be overturned with 2 minutes intelligent inspection.
We take a bit longer than 2 minutes.
3 hours?
A modest exaggeration, more like five. 6 a.m. Esmond's landlord wakes up with a wet ceiling. He goes upstairs to complain and finds Esmond dead in his pyjamas and the bath overflowing. He calls an ambulance, but the ambulance boys won't touch stiffs and they call us. We were there for 8:30, saw the junk on the bedside table and the tracks on his arm.
Now, wait a minute. Where does the bath come into all this?
Essman had messed up the needle job, bled all down himself. He'd got a cannabis possession record from way back, but it looked like this was his first mainliner.
And how does all this link up with me?
Batch numbers. On the IPO and on the packets from the sterile needles. We got on to the supply companies and asked them to do a cross-check on their computer records. Guess where the two numbers coincided?
My clinic.
Right. So we rang the nurse on duty and asked if you'd had a burglary. She said no, and that you had the only key to the drugs cupboard. Now, you can imagine our reaction when your name came up.
Yes, Christmas all over again.
We went around to the clinic. Your desk drawer sort of fell open as I was walking past it, and I saw the 250 quid you had in there.
What?
There were bank teller's check marks in biro on some of the notes. They made a sequence with the money in Esmond's wallet.
I don't believe it.
Warrant at 10:40 and we came straight for you. There's your 2 minutes of intelligent inspection, Lewis.
Oh, but it's mad. I don't know any Michael Essman, and I don't know anything about any £250 either.
Is that going to be the basis of your statement?
I got the caution. No statement without my lawyer within arm's reach. I want my phone call.
Show him how to get an outside line. I've got to go upstairs and get my head patted by his holiness.
Dial 9 before the number.
Something bloody funny happened last night. I'm not sure I can remember what. All I know is that I'm being boxed up by somebody I don't know, and you're helping them nail the lid on. Hello?
40822.
Hello, Mrs. Freeman. May I speak to your husband, please?
Who is this?
It's Peter Lewis, Dr. Peter Lewis.
Oh.
Mrs. Freeman?
I'm afraid this isn't a very convenient time for Donald to speak to anyone.
Yeah, it's urgent, Mrs. Freeman. I need your husband's professional help.
Well, he's not actually able to come to the telephone.
Hello, Lewis.
Freeman, what's going on?
Nothing. Just a misunderstanding, Lizzie.
I need your help. Remember, you said if there was ever anything...
What kind of help did you have in mind?
Well, you won't believe this, but I've been arrested. And the list of charges reads like the index to Hans Christian Andersen.
Yes, it's a tricky one, Lewis.
Well, what do you mean?
I had John Farmer on the phone only a few minutes ago.
And?
Well, you know as well as I do how bad it looks. I'd advise you to be as helpful as you can. It'll look much better for you.
What are you talking about? Aren't you going to come down and clear it up for me?
Bit of difficulty there. A farmer says, in view of the situation, he reckons it's his duty as main trustee of the foundation to freeze its funds pending the investigation.
I don't understand.
Well, you know, the foundation that finances your clinic.
Yes, I know that, but what are you telling me?
The problem is that... Well, you draw your personal income from the foundation, don't you?
Your fee? Is that all you're worried about?
It's not the fee, Louis. Don't talk like that. But, well, as a registered charity, the foundation can't subsidise your defence, can it?
Never mind a foundation. What about my father-in-law?
We discussed it and decided that as main trustee, he's in exactly the same position. I'm afraid you're on your own in this one, Louis.
Thanks, Freeman. I knew I could rely on you.
There's a perfectly adequate legal aid system in this country, Louis. It'll provide a defence as good as any I could give you.
Shove it, Freeman.
Oh, now, come along, Louis. There's no need for...
Try it again. The phone's still in one piece.
They're shouldering me out. I was never one of them. So now they're dumping me.
I beg your pardon?
I want to apply for legal aid.
Are you serious?
Too right, I'm serious.
There's an income qualification, you know.
I qualify. As of now, I qualify.
But there's your house, your car...
Wife's name, everything. All presents from Daddy, you see. And Daddy's decided that it's time for Lewis to get the bums rushed down the front steps before things start getting really nasty.
Well, Doctor, any complaints about our treatment?
I've seen funnier acts than yours in mortuaries, Stoker.
Michael Esmond amongst them, no doubt. It seems the speed at which you tied yourself up for us qualifies for some unofficial departmental record.
Dr. Lewis has chosen not to make a statement.
No statement. That won't look good, Lewis.
Come off it, Stoker. I'm not obliged to tell you anything.
No, but a good hatchet man should be able to make it look bad to a jury. Desperate, close-mouthed, shifty-eyed crook refusing to say a word, hoping his mouthpiece will be able to spring him on some technicality of law.
Dr. Lewis wants to try for legal aid.
He wants to what? Are you making a joke, Lewis?
Look, Stoker, let's get something straight. By trying to nail me up, you're not striking any blows against the idle rich.
Don't try and give us a line about all the good work you've done in your clinic, not when you were cutting the heroin and selling it off on the side.
You've been taken in by some elaborate rig and you're too blind to see it. You're too busy getting satisfaction out of the idea of seeing me squirm. Look, 10 years ago, I was a know-nothing Polack with a brand new medical diploma and damn all else. Everything I've got since then, I've clawed and schemed for.
Yes, and now we know how. I don't care who you are or who you think you are, Lewis. I'm only interested in what you've done. And what you've done marks you out as pure gutter. Big house, big car, all that apart. I clean the gutters, Lewis. I like to clean the gutters. I like to flush out the biggest rats and I like to listen to them squeal. So keep squealing, Lewis. Keep playing the music I like to hear.
To hell with you, Stoker.
You insist we're wrong, but you won't tell us how or why. If you want us to acknowledge the possibility of your innocence, give us something to go on.
Not without proper representation.
You're wanting to opt for legal aid. It's New Year's Day, Lewis. It could take hours to arrange.
That's right.
And the longer you sit here with your mouth shut, the better the case we are getting against you. We're getting fingerprint matches from the stuff we found in Esmond's flat. How are you going to explain your dabs on the hypo that overdosed him? We're hoovering the dirt out of the carpets in your car. We're levering the muck out of the tyre treads and analysing it layer by layer.
Come on, Lewis. You want us to doubt what we've got? Give us a reason. Give us something to make us uneasy before we get so much that we're certain.
All right. But a lot of the details are missing.
Go on.
I was at a party last night. Sometime shortly before midnight, I got called to the phone.
We know about that.
We think it was Esmond.
I don't know who it was, but they... said something about my car, seeing somebody tampering with it.
How did they know?
About what?
Whose car it was. Blue Volvo in a driveway could be anybody's, but they ring and ask for you.
I didn't think. I just ran out.
And?
Well, nothing. Not around the car, anyway. I got down and looked underneath, and when I started to straighten up, there was a gun on my neck.
Curiouser and curiouser.
Another one came from around the corner.
Descriptions?
The one with the gun was quite tall. The other, medium, I suppose. Both early 20s. They made me get in the back of my own car on the floor, and then we drove for about half an hour. Along the way, I had to put this rough canvas bag over my head, and when we stopped...
Any idea where?
No. They took me down some steps and into a cellar. There was another youngish man waiting for us. I wouldn't say more than 19. And he was pretty agitated. I found out why.
Keep going, Lewis.
There was this girl on a mattress they laid out. She was a mess. Looked like she'd held an exploding grenade, but they said that wasn't what did it. A grenade would have been a lot worse, I suppose. They wanted me to treat her.
And did you?
I couldn't. She needed major surgery. Even then her chances would have been small. The most I could do was to give her a heavy tranquilizer to take the edge off the pain if she happened to come around before she died, which she must have done within hours. Then, before I knew what was happening, they held me down and pumped the same stuff into me. That's the last thing I remember before waking up this morning.
Well.
Do you really want to know how it sounds?
Go on.
Like a bad 1950s B picture.
I can't even be that kind. I used to like those films.
You don't want to believe me.
I don't want to be laughed at. That's what I get if I followed up on a story like that.
But it's the truth. I've never peddled drugs. I don't know any Michael Esmond.
Yeah, you've missed your chance.
But look at this. Look at these needle marks on my arm. Take a sample of my blood and run a gas chromer on it for residual traces of morphine. Wouldn't that tell you anything?
It'll tell me you're even stupid enough to shoot the junk yourself. Last night, you left the party and drove to your clinic where you let yourself in with your own key. You avoided being seen by the duty nurse and you helped yourself from the drugs cupboard. Then you drove over to Esmond's place and sold him the stuff. Probably then even joined him in a shot and stayed there for a while, just gaping at the universe. And you drove home and collapsed on the sofa, leaving Esmond behind to flicker out and die.
Forget it, Stoker. I'm saying nothing else.
All right. One more chance, Lewis. Now tell me about this.
What is it?
It's a key.
I can see it's a key.
Are you going to tell me it isn't yours? We found it in your desk drawer.
Looks like my safe deposit key. It's not exactly something I'd instantly recognise.
It was in the same drawer as Esmond's money. Were you going to make a transfer tomorrow when the bank's opened?
The box has got nothing to do with anything. I just keep a few old papers in it, that's all.
Nothing else?
Like what?
Like the accumulated profits of your undeclared sideline. Or maybe even a few bags of junk siphoned off the clinic supplies as a reserve.
No. Hard luck.
Are you prepared to show us?
No.
We'll get access anyway. It'll just take longer.
Start to be reasonable with me and I might cooperate. You're withholding counsel from me. And I don't think it's legal.
Oh, I can't help it if the referee's not looking. You've had all the chances you're getting, Lewis. I'm going to tie you up so tight you'll squeak when you swallow.
Shall I take him to the cells?
Yeah, get him in the forms for legal aid. See what kind of a story it can spin for them.
I am innocent, you know.
Oh, of course. Until proven guilty.
Yeah, see ya.
Oh, I understand. Congratulations are in order.
What makes you say that?
Don't kill him. 5 hours, weren't it?
Well, a bit less if you time it from when we arrived.
Oh, you're a lucky devil.
Luck nothing. Superior skill and judgment.
Oh, sure. See ya.
Got the forms, he's filling them in now.
He's got a hope.
Well, he reckons he's broke. All his high and mighty contacts are dropping him like a hot potato.
Serve him right. It just goes to prove that dirt's dirt, no matter how you serve it up.
Yeah, but I...
Well, what's the matter?
Oh, nothing really. It only struck me that if somebody were to be working a frame around Lewis...
Fat chance.
No, but if they were, well, they couldn't have picked anybody better.
Like how?
Well, look at the way everybody's pulling out from around him at the first scent of a scandal. And it'll be a scandal, all right. The kind everybody loves to believe.
Are you saying you're not happy with the case I've made out?
No, of course not. Right. I just think I'm dazed with the speed of it all.
Speed's got nothing to do with it. It's facts that gets a conviction.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Look at the way those batch numbers led us straight to Lewis's clinic. He wasn't even awake when we had him. In the old days, he'd read about Esmond in the paper and fixed himself up with an alibi while we were still working towards him. As it is, we'd catch him with one leg up in the air, and the best he can come up with is a story that wouldn't stand up in the Beano.
Well, I'm not saying there isn't anything in it.
Just as well. If you want to get some practice with police technology, get chasing the number on this key first thing in the morning. Find out what bank it comes from.
Yeah, then what? An order?
I don't see it being necessary. After a night in the cells, I think he'll be ready to open it for us.
Hmm. It'll look better for him, I suppose.
It'll be quicker, I know that. You know what bastards the banks can be sometimes.
What if Lewis decides to make a complaint about the way we've held back on his brief?
Us?
He got his phone call, didn't he? And he's got his forms.
Well, we've had him over 6 hours.
Bank holiday. Difficult to get things going. Same here as anywhere else.
Yeah, it's just that I wasn't too happy.
Wearier to track down a bent buggers and bouncer, not for the pursuit of happiness. Before you go home, book me a car for tomorrow.
A car?
First thing, unobtrusive escort job. One of those where you can't open the back doors without a key, just in case Lewis gets any ideas about skipping off into the traffic.
You're pretty sure he's going to give in over the key, then?
I'm certain of it, especially after a night with the drunks and the headbangers downstairs. Nice, well-brought-up lad like him. He'll do anything just to get away from the smell. All right, Lewis, you've done your bit. Give the box to the sergeant.
There's nothing in it for you. I only came along to get out of that mouse hole.
It's old papers and stuff.
What's that one?
Death certificate.
Throw it over.
It's nothing.
I'll decide that. Who's this Leorsky character?
My father.
Oh, I see. This is where the know-nothing Polak bit comes in, is it? The old man's name wasn't good enough for you, eh? Had to get yourself something a bit more acceptable for the smart set. I wonder how he'd react to the mess that his lad's got himself into now.
I've no idea.
And you don't even care, do you? I can't make you out, Lewis. What kind of bloke are you?
Family Bible.
You get yourself up in a borrowed name and dance around like an organ grinder's monkey for John Farmer and his cronies, and then you mess yourself and they don't even want to know you. And what did you expect? I mean, your father and this John Farmer. Great buddies, were they? Used to sway about with their arms around each other's shoulders at the family get-togethers. Or did it usually slip your mind to ask your old man? Or didn't you even consider it at all? I bet you didn't even go to his funeral.
You bastard, Stoker, it's none of your business.
No, I bet you didn't. Probably in one of those Polak churches, all candles and incense. Not the kind of thing a well-brought-up debutante would like to trade along to, is it?
No, there's nothing for us here.
No. Nothing for any of us, is there, Lewis?
Shall I put it back?
Lewis would like that. Put it all back and lock it away. We'll take it with us.
Okay, driver, open the door. You get in first, Sergeant. Now you, Lewis.
I suppose Sorry, Stoker, but if you won't listen to
me... He's got me bloody toy in the door!
I've got a handle on my side.
Driver, get after him! Don't let him get away!
All right, sir.
Oh, I'm not in the car, you stupid bastard! I'm still stuck!
Lock the back door!
Hurry up!
Sorry, sir. Sorry.
You bloody well will be.
Which way did he go?
God only knows. He nearly had me hung.
No, we've lost him.
Brilliant, Sergeant! Lewis!
I'm
going
to kill you, Lewis!
Chief, I
tell you.
Sir!
Would you mind not kicking the car, please?
Yes?
David Foster?
Yes?
Or perhaps you don't remember me. I'm Peter Lewis. Is your sister still living here?
I remember you, Doctor.
Well, can I speak to Victoria?
I'm not sure.
But it's very...
No, I know what you did for her and how much you helped her, but she's clean. All she wants to do is to forget the whole damned episode.
Please, David, at least let me in.
She's finished her treatment months ago.
I know, it's nothing to do with that.
I've got
to get off the streets, that's all. At least let me in so I can tell you about it. Then if you want to throw me out, I'll go.
You in trouble?
Yes. In fact, that's something of an understatement.
All right, you can come in. We'll listen. That's all I'm promising.
It seemed like Stoker was going to have a fit. He thought he'd broken me down to the point of confession, when really I was just looking for the chance to get out of his hands.
A lot to ask us to believe.
I can hardly believe it myself. And if you want proof, I haven't got any. All the objective evidence seems to be against me. That's what made Stoker's case so strong and mine so inadequate.
What do you think, Vicky?
I don't know. It does seem to make some kind of weird sense.
I wish Stoker saw it the same way.
He was too busy being pleased with his arrest beating some unofficial record. If I ever get back into his hands after what I did to him outside that bank, I can probably say goodbye to all this expensive bridge work. I could hear him shouting two blocks away. He wants to kill me.
Suppose for a minute we accept your story. What do you want from us?
Well, I know it's a lot to ask, but I need somewhere to sleep and the use of a telephone.
How long do you think you can carry on hiding like that?
I don't know. It would be a risk for you.
No, forget that for a moment. You'd have no job, no money, nothing.
Well, I'm not planning on going into permanent hiding. What I need is a base of operations. Firstly, so I can try to think through what happened that night, and then so I can try to get some of the facts which don't interest Stoker. I've got to have something more substantial before I can let them get hold of me again.
Even that might not be any help with this Stoker character. He sounds pretty single-minded.
I know. He's another problem. If it was just his sergeant, I might have a chance. I'm going to have to come up with something so persuasive it'll drop him in his tracks. Some hope.
Vicky, I'm going to leave this to you.
Why only to me?
Because it's you and have to put up with the memories. That's too much for you, then he goes.
I can't run away forever, David. Anyway, in spite of everything, I think he deserves a chance.
Does this mean you'll help me?
Looks like it. But if you're going to be staying here and we're going to be helping you, I think it's only fair you should give your full story to the Mole.
Who's he?
The Notting Hill Mole, my newspaper.
Oh, is it still going?
It's doing very well.
He means they actually made another payment on the Lytho machine last month to prevent it from being repossessed.
Well, for the Mole, that's good.
Look, you're welcome to whatever you can make out of it. In fact, I'd feel better.
All right, Peter. What's first?
Oh, there are so many questions that need answers. I don't know who it was that picked me up or where they took me. I don't know who the girl was or how she got injured. I'm damn sure she must be dead by now. That's about all.
So where's the body? Those injuries you described are very distinctive. Even Stoker couldn't ignore a connection like that.
And then there's Michael Essman. I know I've never met him. And yet they say there was a record card on him in my files.
So if you could find a body to match the girl, or a motive for somebody else to kill Essman and pin it on you...
It would be a start, that's all. Still wouldn't explain how the two were linked, except through me.
Well, tracing the girl doesn't sound to be very promising. She's probably been buried or dumped at sea.
I don't know. Disposal's never easy. Well, they didn't seem to be worried.
So what could they have done?
Dump her in a bath of acid? Set her in a block of concrete? Burn her?
David, this is serious.
Oh, I'm being serious. But if there's no sure way of hiding a body and no way of destroying it, what's the alternative?
I don't know. Perhaps a bit of both.
Combining both sets of disadvantages.
I don't know. If you're worried about being discovered in something, it might make sense to be so open about it that nobody gets suspicious.
It can't be easy to be open about having your arm blown off or whatever it was.
No, but in a comparatively innocent situation, like an accident.
A gas main?
I was thinking more of a car blowing up.
Why a car particularly?
Because when they pumped me with morphine and dropped me on the floor, they kept on talking even though I wasn't fully under. There was something about a car and car keys. Her car keys, one of them said, I'm sure. Maybe that's worth a try.
If the body was burned so that the injuries were unrecognizable, which was presumably the idea, how does that help you?
I get a name out of it, that's how.
It's worth a try, David.
Want me to see if I can check? It might take a while.
It may not be necessary. Stoker's not the only one who can juggle about with data banks. I don't suppose you've ever heard of Intertransplan.
I don't think so.
Oh, it's a private firm on an NHS subsidy. They've got offices in Leeds, and they maintain an up-to-date computer record of all the deaths in Britain, along with details of the conditions of the organs and the legal standing in each case.
But they're not going to have any records for a burned-up body.
All the deaths get registered, and the computer sorts them out. This one would probably last a couple of days until it got shunted right down the priority list and off the end.
So how'll you get to find out?
Ring them. I'll take a chance and identify myself. I hope my name isn't too public yet.
And they'll tell you what you want to know, just like that?
Of course they will. Every successful link-up makes them money.
And then what?
One thing at a time, eh? Can I use the phone?
If it's working. We haven't actually paid the last bill yet.
Sandy.
Hello, Stoker?
It's Sergeant Reed. Can I help you?
This is Peter Lewis.
What? Is this a joke?
Get Stoker to the phone and get him fast. Tell him if he's got no intention of conducting a proper investigation of Michael Essman's death, I'll have to do it for him.
Get a trace on 240, fast.
Are you listening to me?
Yes. Look, Lewis, you're not helping yourself. Stoker's on the carpet right now for losing you, and when he's angry, he doesn't let go.
You mean he gets even more pig-ignorant and bull-headed?
Now, look, listen.
No, Reed. Listen to me. And when you've listened, sit and think for a minute instead of trying to get yourself into the Guinness Book of Records for high-speed convictions. Number one, what was Essman's money doing in my desk? According to your forensic reconstruction from the examination of my car, I'm supposed to have driven to the clinic, then to Essman's with the heroin where I made the sale, and then home. If that was the sequence, then how come I already had a bunch of notes in my office with teller's marks that added up with notes at Essman's? And number two, why the hell was Essman's bath running?
Because of the blood. Why else?
One reason only. So it would fill up and overflow into the landlord's flat below and guarantee that he'd be found dead at the earliest opportunity. You walked in, found the hypos and needles like you were supposed to, cross-checked the batch numbers like you were supposed to, then came to me and found the money like you were supposed to. It's a closed circle, Reed. Whoever set this up intended you to have your nose pressed hard on the ground all the way. You've never looked at one side or the other until it was too late to be anything other than certain.
And what else were we supposed to have looked at? Your story?
It deserved more than you gave it. I could have faced the chance of it being dismissed if only you'd taken the trouble to follow up some part of it.
Like how? You gave us nothing.
That's not quite true. You just saw nothing. As dawn was breaking on New Year's morning, there was a car crash on the M62 near Castleford, Yorkshire.
What the hell has that got to do with anything?
You see what I mean? You won't look beyond the miserable little patch of ground in front of you. The car ran off the hard shoulder and down a slope before it burst into flames. The petrol tank exploded and the driver was incinerated. They only identified her through the number of the car and a dental worker.
Oh, come on, Lewis. Yorkshire...
That's right. And the one reported death in the country that could possibly tie up with my story. Now, don't you think it bears looking at... at least with the purpose of finding some reason to dismiss it.
Yeah, it's a bit thin, Lewis.
So's the presence of a few biro marks on some banknotes. But that's enough to make Stoker happy.
But that's in an overall context.
Exactly. And how many details have I got to dig up for you before you recognize that there's an alternative context to consider?
Tell us where you are, Lewis. I promise you we'll go into
it. Oh, no. You can tell your Neanderthal colleague that I'm going to get the truth and give it to him, even if I have to kneel on his chest and stuff it down his throat piece by piece.
But you're approaching this the wrong way. Antagonizing Stoker isn't going to help you at all.
All right, then. Right, that's all the time you're getting.
Look, Lewis, wait.
I know you'll be trying to trace this call, and I know how long it takes.
No, Lewis, we... Any luck, Barry?
Wait a minute. What's that? Oh, blast. Forget it.
Well...
she said, what was your number again?
Oh, it's always a slim chance at best.
Did you get any leads on
this? I don't know. Nothing concrete I could pass on to Stoker, but... no. Nothing.
Careful with that. Somebody might hear.
I think we're all right. The building seems to be empty.
How did you learn that trick with a banker's card?
The Notting Hill Mole doesn't just report, it digs. Burglary's all in a nice word.
But your card's ruined.
That's all right. The bank's cancelled it anyway. I'll draw the curtains. You find the light switch.
Right.
There's only a stockroom besides the office. It isn't even locked. Anything on his desk?
Yeah, just the usual mess of forms, I suppose. Orders, addresses... customs declarations.
Oh, look at this one. Seems he handled mail order as well.
Yes, but it seems to be mostly personal packages. Oh, there's one here. Tea, tobacco, knitting wool.
Hardly Dick Barton's stuff, is it? Where are they all going to?
Well, mainly Poland, by the look of it. Obviously a relative sending back stuff that isn't easy to come by.
Oh, that's put paid to the drug ring theory. Never heard of a Polish connection.
I don't honestly think drugs have got anything to do with it. That was just a means of getting me into the picture.
Yes, but what about his record at the clinic?
Oh, faked, at a guess. There are plenty of blanks in the office. It wouldn't have taken 5 minutes to copy a few realistic-looking details off other cards.
But weren't they locked up?
Yes, and the keys were in my pocket. I'm going to telephone in again and see if I can get that sergeant to check up on the dates on the record card. If Essman can be proved to have been somewhere else on any of those dates...
Not only that. If all the dates were typed on at once, the ribbon ink would be all the same density. A proper record card wouldn't be like that.
Right.
Why tell the sergeant?
Because I know Stoker wouldn't listen. He's not a policeman. He's a piranha. Hmm. Let's take a look at the stockroom.
Oh, yeah. Not very big. Didn't waste space, did he?
I'm wondering whether it would be worth opening any of these parcels.
Thought you didn't want to leave any traces.
I don't.
if I can help it.
It's probably some poor old grandmother sitting in... Where is it? Alston. Waiting for a tea and tobacco.
Perhaps there's more to it than that.
There are quite a few firms like Esmond's. Mainly used by war exiles who refused to go home after the Polish boundaries were redrawn after the war. They send these goods back to relatives who either can't get them for themselves or else sell them at a profit.
What? Tea and knitting wool?
I'd have thought you knew all about that.
What do you mean?
You know, the old country, the homeland, land of the Liavskis.
And where did you find out about that?
Right after the Tozer business. It was everywhere, even in the mall. All about you changing your name and marrying money, the whole bit.
Oh, no.
Ah, what's the matter? What kind of difference do you think it's going to make now?
Not now, but when I get back on my feet...
Make damn all difference then as well. Maximize your assets. Don't try to invent something to be ashamed of.
Thank you, Dale Carnegie. And what's over there?
Boxes, crates. Put those is in them.
Anything on the dispatch label?
Just Esmond's address.
Yeah, well, let's give him the once over. If we're careful, we can ease the nails back into their holes and nobody'll know.
Oh, no need. Somebody's been here before us. Probably the police.
Well, look at this.
Hold on, Peter. Don't start getting excited.
Esmond was gun running.
You're seeing nothing that the police haven't seen and dismissed.
Well, they can't have seen these.
It's the mail order side of Esmond's business. They're not real.
Well, they must be. They can't be toys.
Not for children. There's a full-page Xerox of an ad on Esmond's desk. These are collector's replicas.
But they look real.
The barrels are solid metal. You can load them with empty bullets and click the trigger, but that's all.
Oh. I thought for a moment we'd really got a handle on Esmond.
There's nothing here to suggest that anybody would want to kill him. And nothing to tie him in with you.
Well, we've wasted our time. Are you sure these guns can't be used?
Right, sir. Take a look for yourself.
But what if you were to drill through the barrel and load up with real bullets?
Wouldn't work. The casting's all wrong. Probably blow your hand off.
Say that again?
Huh?
Look, if I held the gun about waist height and fired and the whole thing exploded, I'd probably get identical injuries to the girl.
That's only a conclusion. We don't know that's what happened.
Yes, but it's better than anything else we've found so far.
CID.
Switchboard here. Outside call for Sergeant Reed.
He's taking a day's leave. Put them through, I'll get the message.
Hello, is that you, Reed?
He's not in today. Can I help you?
Do you know where he is?
He was driving north, that's all I know. Inspector Stoker's around. Can I get him for you?
No. No, thanks.
Was that for me, Barry?
No, somebody wanting your oppo.
He's got the day off. Who was it?
Didn't say.
It wasn't Lewis, was it?
No, didn't ask for you.
Where is the Barnet graduate today, anyway?
Oh, dear, driving north, that's all he said.
Police post, Stagford Moor. Can I help you? Right, can you tell me where you saw the obstruction?
My name's Reed.
And which way you were travelling?
I'm up from the Met. Can I talk to somebody about an accident?
Why? Have you had one?
No, it was the day before yesterday. A girl ran off the motorway somewhere near Castleford.
Oh, yeah, New Year's morning. Nasty one, that. The telly went out to it. He should be around today. Seen telly about recently?
What? Oh, he's chasing a dog on the westbound.
Ah, oh, he shouldn't be long.
Sorry, madam.
I want to take a seat till he gets back.
She came off somewhere around here.
No tire marks?
No, but you can see in the field how she went. And that roped off bit's the tree stump. That's when the lot went up.
Any idea why it happened?
They reckon she probably fell asleep at wheel. This was about 6 in the morning and she'd driven all the way up the M1 from London. They can't rule out mechanical failure, but there was nothing in the wreck to suggest it.
Anything at the post-mortem?
Oh, you're joking. There was hardly anything left after the fire. The petrol tank went up, you know.
Yes, I know.
Well, why come all this way? You could have telephoned.
Well, it's nothing official yet, just something that's bothering me. I didn't want the call logged.
Yeah, but this'll be going in me notes anyway.
Yeah, does it have to?
It's not up to me.
No, of course not. No, thanks.
Need any help?
I don't know.
Yawning, Vicky.
Only just.
Oh, late night.
I heard about it. You feel as if it got you anywhere?
Oh, somewhere and nowhere. David around?
He went out about an hour ago. Tell me what you found.
What didn't David say?
Well, he told me about the guns. Said you had a theory that has to be heard to be believed.
Well, they were fakes. Replicas. I think Esmond was supplying somebody with real guns and then making up the numbers with these cheap castings. I think he drilled them through so that somebody who wasn't experienced wouldn't know the difference.
And how does that tie in with you?
The girl I saw had loaded one up and tried to use it. The chamber had exploded in her hand.
Well, that's not what I meant. Why you?
Well, I'm a doctor. I needed one.
They could have picked on anybody.
Well, there was the drug side of it. They could use that to tie me to Essman. It meant they could get away with their revenge killing on him, pin it on me, and make the whole thing into a neat package, so that nobody looked outside the closed circle. And as far as Stoker's concerned, it worked.
Well, let's try it another way. Who are they?
That I don't know.
And there's no way you can work it out?
Well, there was nothing in Esmond's place to suggest...
Oh, there was plenty in Esmond's place. David says the clues were piled from floor to ceiling, and you walked past without even blinking. Like you had a blind spot so big you could drive a taxi through it.
What are you talking about?
Esmond's business. Nearly every damn package in the place was on its way to Poland.
Well, what's that got to do with anything?
Oh, obviously nothing as far as you're concerned. But who was buying the guns? And who'd get a kick out of seeing you brought down?
Get a kick out of it?
Look, Peter, you got a lot of publicity after Julian Tozer overdosed himself and died on Foundation premises. I know that as far as you're concerned, you handled it well. You came out smelling of roses and a few steps higher on the ladder of fame and fortune. But it also gave you the chance to make enemies.
The Chiswick Ladies' Soap?
Oh, I'm serious.
Well, so am I.
Why did you change your name? Why did you change it?
Well, I didn't want it to hold me back. Well, that's got to do with anything.
How would it hold you back?
I can't explain that. You wouldn't understand.
Oh, look, Doctor, you're sitting in my place and under my roof. Don't patronise me. This isn't the clinic.
I'm not being patronising. It's just that I can't really explain the way things work on that level.
On what level? Why wouldn't I understand?
Because, damn it, it's the real world where big things happen. And it's 1,000 miles away from the state-supported socialist dream.
The real world? You bloody hypocrite. I spent 2 years in one of your concept houses. I emptied the bins and scrubbed the floors, and if I wanted to do any better, I had to earn the right. Earn it. Not change my name and smooth-talk my way into it. Not concoct some fake personality in order to creak to somebody who could fix me what I wanted. And not turn around and give two fingers to everybody like me.
You've got it all wrong,
Vicky. Oh, you've got it all wrong. You changed your name because you were ashamed of having a father who still couldn't speak English without an accent after he'd lived here for 20 years. To you, that was more important than the fact that he was a war hero and had the guts to begin his life over again in a strange country rather than return to a regime he couldn't approve of.
You think it's that simple? You want to know what it was really like to live one step up from a slum in the shadow of the steelworks? Some nights I'd see the lights from the furnaces on my bedroom wall and I'd think, you won't have me. Whatever I have to do to get away from you, you won't have me. Then I'd go to sleep and dream of being in hell. And hell wasn't the fire or the flames. Hell was being nobody. Living and dying and being nobody at all.
You're telling me nothing. I've been down there and I climbed my way back. But I came up clean.
Yes. Well, different people, different ways.
Except that I'm not running from anyone.
What am I going to do, Vicky?
Do you still think you were right to set yourself up in the way you did?
I don't know. Honestly, look where it's got me.
That's a start, at least. You know, the media big guns might have been kind to you, but the underground press weren't quite so benign. If I'd been a first or second generation Pole, I'd have been pretty offended at what you did.
But I was thinking of some terrorist group, urban guerrillas.
Maybe there's an overlap.
I don't see how.
Well, I've done some research for you, mainly in the Mole's files. Best candidate I could come up with is New Prussia.
New where?
Named after an area around the Russian and Polish borders. Poland annexed it way back in the Middle Ages, but it stayed Protestant while the rest of Poland was Catholic. Sparks flew all the way up to the Second World War.
And what happened then?
Well, common cause. All the energy went into the Polish resistance. A lot of the rebels came over and trained with the SOE and then parachuted back to work undercover. When the war was over, the cooperation had taken a lot of the fire out of the religious conflict. And the organisation seems to have been wound down.
Now, what does this have to do with me?
London Cell surviving, maybe? Emigres?
No, wrong age.
Their children, then. There are rumours of a New Prussia revival in Poland, but so little gets out. They must have sympathisers over here, maybe even suppliers.
A London group who bought guns from Esmond and smuggled them into Poland.
And who suddenly needed a doctor. Someone who was wide open for being used and discredited. It was barely a fortnight after the Julian Tozer inquest.
Is that David?
Must be no other keys.
Listen, Vicky, I'm sorry.
Really?
Really.
Well, like I said, it's a start.
Hi, gang. Anything to eat?
Where have you been?
Doing some checking around.
I tried to get into a couple of the cuttings libraries, the big dailies, but it seems they don't exactly embrace the Mole as a brother publication. They booted me out. I got into the Holborn Library, though. A bit creepy. There's a police station right next door.
What did you find?
The dead girl on the M62. I got you a name and some other details to go with the accident.
Well?
Wait a minute. Can't read my own writing. Name, Julia Petrov, age 22. Daughter of Polish war hero, Stanislav Petrov. A civil engineer and a leading light of the Polish Expatriates Association. What have I said?
Enough.
It's falling together. It's actually falling together.
What is?
Is it possible that the dead girl could have been the one that Peter saw?
The state they found her in, she could have been a tame gorilla and nobody could have identified her without dental records. The way the wreck was found, it would have been possible to run it off the road and hold the tank to get a good spread of petrol before they set it alight. They must have had another vehicle following so they could drive away.
That's got to be it. That's got to be why they needed her car keys. And I remember something else.
What?
When I was going under, one of them called me Liavsky.
Morning, Chief.
Oh, so you finally made it back from the frozen north.
How did you know about that?
4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. It finally filtered through from the rarefied upper layers of this building that questions have been asked at Assistant Commissioner level.
What kind of questions?
It seems some copper on the motorway was getting bothered about an inquiry that seemed to be taking place with the Met boys trampling somebody else's patch without prior arrangement, so he reported it. He was covering himself against any future dirt that might fly.
I see.
I wish I did. No doubt you'll want to enlighten me.
There's nothing to tell. I only thought I'd use some of my own time to follow up on a part of that phone call from Lewis that I took for you.
And what's wrong with the time you're paid to do that kind of thing?
Well,
come on.
For the way the investigation's being structured, there isn't the opportunity.
Meaning that you think I'm conducting it wrongly?
No, but it isn't exactly open-ended.
So you think that throwing in a few wild fantasies would help to widen things out a bit?
Well, of course not, but well, I thought if I could follow them up to my own satisfaction and dismiss them, then I'd be less distracted from the rest of the operation.
And are you satisfied now?
No. Neither one way or the other.
So what possible grounds have you got for suggesting Lewis's innocence?
I don't think our case hangs together as well as it appears to on the surface. There were the points Lewis made about the money on his desk and Esmond's bath. When it comes to Esmond himself, well, we found nothing to suggest that he was a long-term addict.
We know he spent his college days as high as a kite back in Baltimore or wherever it was.
But that was a few years back and he got out of it.
So he decided to get into it again. How do you argue against Lewis's fingerprints on the hypo that delivered the killing shot? Against the muck in his wheel arches that layer by layer confirms every stage of his journey? It's Julian Tozer all over again, but this time we've got him.
If he was unconscious, the whole thing could have been set up around him.
Maybe it could. If so, it's for me to say. Your job is to trail around behind me looking fresh-faced and be suitably astonished each time I perform some feat of inspired detection. Good God, lad, don't you ever watch any television?
I'm sorry. I didn't realise I wasn't supposed to do anything other than open car doors and hang around in the background.
All right. So the investigation isn't open-ended, in your opinion. What would you do?
I'd get a few extra tests done on Esmond. See if we could get some picture of how far back his addiction goes. I'd try to get cross-confirmation of the date shown on his clinic record card. I'd get an exclamation on Julia...
Wait a minute. On what grounds would you be ordering all this?
Well, mainly to see what turned up.
You think you're going to get all that just to see what turns up? You think you'll get an exhumation order just because you want to see what turns up?
But how else can we be sure we're getting justice?
Justice? What gives you the right to presume you can go round handing out justice? What do you think the courts are for?
But if there's doubt...
That's for his defence to make the most of, not us. Our job is to get him into the dock and give a reasonable explanation of why he ought to be there. After that, it's out of our hands.
Lewis can't afford that kind of defence.
So now you're saying that legal aid makes you a second-class citizen?
No, of course not. But If, by some chance, Lewis is telling the truth, then he's at the centre of such an elaborate frame-up that his defence would have to be backed up by an outside investigation. If the police won't do it and he can't afford it, where does it leave him?
I'll tell you where it leaves you. It leaves you so low in the promotion league that Martin Borman will have a better chance of making it to Inspector. Just answer me this. If Lewis was so convinced of his own innocence, why did he run away?
Perhaps he could see the kind of deal he was going to get.
That's the Expatriates Association over there.
I know.
You recognise it?
Oh, not from the other night. My father brought me here when I was 15. Day out in London was a big thing for him. My mother stayed at home because she said this trip was just for the men.
Might somebody know you?
No, we never went in. I stopped at the bottom of the steps and refused. He tried to persuade me, but I wouldn't. He just shrugged and smiled and didn't force me. But I could tell that his day was spoilt. And God forgive me. I was glad.
You still want to go in now?
I'm long overdue. Are you sure I'll pass for a television researcher?
You look far too disreputable to be anything else.
No, I'd better get going. We're blocking the road.
Well, where shall I wait?
Drive down to the end of the row and turn in. I'll see you there.
Well, now you've seen the basement, and I'm sure you'll agree it's a good spot for the new youth disco. And on this floor, we have a couple of rooms set aside for meetings, reunions, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
3 times a week, some of the very old ones meet to play bridge.
And the photographs along the wall?
War heroes, generals, commanders. All a long time ago, and now perhaps best forgotten.
Do others think that way?
Many know. It would be unfair to expect it. Mature people cut loose from a country they never wanted to leave? No, they can never forget. You build a new life for the sake of your children. But when they move out, what is left? Some die a little inside. Others relent and go back. The lucky ones, I count myself among them, they absorb it all and carry on.
And what about the next generation?
We brought them up to be Britishers. They don't want to carry a second-hand torch from the 1930s, and that's the way it should be.
Good morning, Henry.
Oh, and to you, Stanislav. This is Peter Lewisham. His company are interested in making a television film about our association. Stanislav Petrov, our secretary.
How do you do, Mr. Lewisham?
I'm particularly interested in present-day feelings of exiles towards the current regime. Shouldn't it be a matter of concern that it's no longer an issue of great public interest?
Forgive my cynicism, Mr. Lewisham, but it has been said before. And to make it the subject of a documentary is not an expression of concern. It is a substitute for it. Please, excuse me.
Stanislav is rather upset. He lost his daughter in a car accident only a few days ago. She was on her way to Hull with some parcels for a seaman's club there.
To Hull?
We try to keep contact with most of the Polish ships that call at our ports. Sometimes our Polish language newspapers are the only way that the sailors can keep themselves informed on world events. The Polish press has a limited outlook.
Just newspapers?
Different kinds of goods. We help the sailors. Sometimes the sailors help us.
With what?
Nothing clandestine. Some sterling. A few gifts. Please don't ask me for details. I would have to refuse.
All right. Let's get back to the new generation of anglicized Poles. Mm. You say they've no strong feelings for their homeland.
Oh, I didn't say that. I only said that they don't want to relive recent conflicts.
Does that make you sorry?
Considering everything, no. It makes me hopeful.
So if you were to discover, say, that your sons and daughters were giving active armed support to their ancestral homeland, you'd feel no reason to be pleased.
A nice debating point. I'm relieved to say that the question will never have to be answered. Excuse me, please, if you wouldn't mind waiting here. There seems to be some trouble over there. I won't be a moment.
We know he's here, and you're in here with the due process of law.
Stoke.
We were telephoned not more than 15 minutes ago. Lewis is here and I want him.
I'm willing to cooperate, Inspector, but not if all you can do is shout and demand.
The man's a killer and a drug peddler. In the name of God, let me look for him.
Reluctant as I am to interfere in a divine mission, I need some more concrete evidence from some more earthly institution.
Look, I've no time for a warrant, but I've got reasonable suspicion. You recognize his picture?
That's it, Mr. Lewisham.
Where?
Over there, the games room.
Right. After me, lads.
He was here.
And now he's gone.
This back window's open.
It leads to the gardens.
What's out there?
It looks like a eucalyptus bush.
Spare me the botany. Which way did he go?
Okay, let's go. Not too fast. Stoker's around.
Stoker? How did he know?
I was taken down into the basement where the youth club's fitting out its own disco. It was dark, but I recognized it as the place I was taken on New Year's Eve. I couldn't see the kids working there, but they obviously got a good look at me. Somebody panicked.
Better two?
Better two.
This is Stoker. Get a roadblock out. Stop all the cars.
Inspector, we're on a main road.
Lewis is running. Get the area sealed before it's too late.
You got the devil behind you.
Very close.
Peter recognized the place where he was taken.
Oh, and they recognized Peter. They called the police in, and that was a big mistake.
Anything you could call proof?
Not yet, but it's within reach. There's some kind of pipeline involving a fishing boat which docks at Hull, and I think that's being used to get the arms to New Prussia.
So the association is involved?
No, I don't think so. It's their pipeline, but I think somebody's working from inside without the association's knowledge.
How can you be sure?
I'm going to watch, starting tonight. When they move, I'll know.
What are you going to do now?
Drop me off. I'm going to see if I can get back into the building.
After the way you got chased out this afternoon?
No, it's dark enough. Nobody will see me.
What if the police are watching?
I only wish it was likely. At least it would mean that Stoker was taking my story seriously.
One of us ought to come in with you.
No, no, I need you both out of it. Keep circling in the car and make sure you pass this corner every 5 minutes or so. If I don't appear within the hour, go to the police and tell them everything you know.
You're sure they'll be moving the goods tonight?
Well, I'm only guessing. They missed out on a shipment a week ago because of the accident. When I telephoned the docks authority at Hull, they said that most of the Polish fishing boats are on a fortnightly schedule. That means the pipeline should be operating either tonight or in a week's time.
Isn't that fair? It's going round the back of the association.
No? Anybody getting out?
Looks like an old chap and three younger ones. We're too far past to be sure.
That's got to be it.
But there are four of them.
I don't intend doing anything heroic. I only want to see if they take the guns or leave them here. No point blowing the horn and getting the police to stop the van if all they're going to find is bootleg Bibles.
Would it be enough for Stoker? He's pretty determined.
When I've got this, Stoker can have me. He's not my judge, thank God. I'll have the defense I need, the link-up of Essman with Julia Petrov and New Prussia.
That's everything. See you in the morning.
Safe journey. And remember, don't push the van too hard on the motorway.
Better lock up now. You wouldn't want anyone to come across what's in those boxes, would you?
Who? How did you get in here?
You left the door open. Hardly good security for a private arsenal.
What are you talking about?
Oh, come on.
Wait a minute. I've seen you before. This afternoon, the man from the television.
And wanted by the police for reasons that you're perfectly well aware of.
I don't know who you are or what you've done, but please get away from here. There's nothing for you, and if you leave the police here, many innocent people may suffer.
I'm aware of one who's suffering already, me.
Please, Mr. Lewisham.
Lewis. Leavsky. You've got no idea what I'm talking about, have you?
There's nothing here. Only books. Perhaps a little money. Take it if you must. Or at the worst, a few forged papers to lift the burden off to some miserable victim of the state. Why in the name of God would you want to ruin this?
I don't want to ruin anything. I only want to make it through Stoker's hands to a courtroom with my head still attached to my body.
Who?
Stoker. The blind bull who narrowly missed grabbing me here this afternoon.
But why? Why do you try to involve the association?
I think we've both been strung along, Mr. Petrov. How well do you know those three boys who help you with your pipeline?
One of them is my son.
And is your son a member of New Prussia?
What do you know of New Prussia?
I know it's a movement centered in the area where your family and the families of those boys probably lived before the war.
A new Prussia no longer exists.
It exists, and it's active. And those boys are using your pipeline to supply it with arms. Arms like the miscast weapon that killed your daughter.
You will not speak of my daughter.
She died when a fake pistol exploded in her hand. Your son and his friends disguised the fact in a car crash and killed the man who supplied the gun. They tried to hang his murder on me, and they very nearly succeeded.
It's not possible.
Do you know what's in every single one of those crates that you send up to the boat in Hull? Do you see each one personally?
Of course not, the boys.
Exactly. Take a look now.
But
take a look, please. If there's nothing, I'll go.
See that I do this unwillingly, Mr. Lewisham. I do it because I am old and because you intimidate me.
You see what I mean? Every time you send out a load of books and money, a few of these guns go with it.
No, it's not possible. Not my son.
I'm sorry.
It must stop. It must stop now. Tonight.
Will you go with me to the police?
The police?
A man's dead, Mr. Petrov.
You are right. I will come with you, Mr. Lewisham.
We can go outside and wait for my friends to drive by. And, by the way, it's not Lewisham. It's Lewis.
Changing the name again, are we, Doctor? Don't get any stupid ideas. This gun isn't one of Esmond's fakes.
I seem to have been in this position before.
We came back for the receipt book. I must say, Lewis, I hadn't expected to see you again.
Sorry to disappoint you.
This is Anthony Spalinski, Mr. Lewis. His father was one of my oldest friends.
Lucky I came back.
Lewis has shown me what you are doing with the pipeline. It must stop now.
We don't really have much choice now, do we? But it's planned for.
Who will you frame this time?
Nobody. We'll drive up to Hull, and then we'll take the boat to Gdansk.
You think you can put things right by running away?
Who's running away? We'll get ashore, then travel inland and join up with our group. We've got papers, identities, everything. After 15 years of going to language school, we'll be all right.
You've got everything well prepared. It's a shame to see it spoiled.
You won't get the chance of that. You're coming with us.
Why not just shoot me here?
Messy. You get found, maybe we get followed. This way, there's still a chance you'll take the blame for Esmond.
It's madness. The path you're proposing to follow won't solve anything.
I wouldn't expect to hear that from you, Mr. Petrov. We are off to take arms against a regime that's occupying our homeland, just as you once did. Where's the difference?
The difference is that we're no longer at war. Kill Lewis here and we'll be murder. Nothing more noble than that.
Lewis has asked for everything he got. That's why he's such a perfect target.
Don't try to devalue the standards of war by appropriating them for your own misguided efforts.
The war's over. Why won't you go home? Why keep on with your government in exile? Other people are living under the conditions you refuse to return to. We are going to do something about it.
You'll do nothing about it. You'll wave your guns over your heads and think you're little heroes. You'll fail.
Come on, Lewis.
For the last time.
Forget it, old man. Your day's past. I'm going to lock you in here. By the time somebody comes to let you out, we'll have sailed.
Switch that off.
You get the book? I got more than that.
Yeah, it's Lewis.
Everything's changed. This time, we're not coming back.
What?
Move over so Lewis can drive us. That way he can't try anything.
What do you mean, Tony? Not coming back?
We planned for it. Well, it's happened.
Any sign of him?
No. Go round again.
If the van pulls out, we might miss
it. But if we stop, they'll know there's something going on. We don't want to give Peter away. Especially
I know. Go round again.
What's going to happen, Tony?
You know as well as I do. We go over to Masuria and join the underground.
But we can't leave just like that.
We don't have any choice. Lewis here made it for us.
What are we going to do about him?
I assume we'll pull in somewhere quiet along the way and you'll kill me.
Oh, no, Tony, not again, please.
What do you suggest as an alternative? He led the police to the association, and he almost led them to us.
Esmond, I could understand after what he did to Julia. The bastard asked for what he got, but I'm not for killing Lewis.
Well, Lewis has asked for it, too.
Since when? All right, so you can say he's a creep who exploits junkies. Fine. Maybe that put him in line for the setup, but not for murder.
Well, it wouldn't be murder, would it, Tony?
Makes no damn difference to me.
Shut up, Lewis.
There's a thin line between armed struggle and plain murder. If we kill Lewis, we'll be stepping over it.
If we don't, he'll blow the whistle on New Prussia.
Well, let him. We need the publicity, and anyway, we'll be out of the country. No way does Lewis deserve to die.
What about the way he turned his back on the home country? That's pretty decisive.
Why not ask him about that?
All right. Pull onto the hard shoulder, Lewis.
Dark enough for what you have in mind?
I know what kind of outfit you think we are.
Do you expect me to comment?
We're prepared to live and die by our principles, Dr. Lewis. You were happy to change yours to suit the occasion and the company.
I never expected to be judged for it.
Who does? But sometimes it happens.
So what now? Sentence?
We don't sentence people.
You didn't sentence Esmond?
No. We just killed him.
Oh, sorry. Seem to have got my semantics all screwed up.
We're going to give you a choice, that's all. We're going to give you control. What do you think of that?
I'll wait until I've heard the conditions.
Tell him, Tony.
You can join us. We'll take you to Poland, out of the hands of the police. We'll introduce you to New Prussia and vouch for you. You'll become one of us.
And the alternative?
You're free to refuse. In which case, we'll take you off the road and shoot you.
You explain the pros and cons so elegantly.
It's in your own hands, Lewis.
Then I refuse.
You're turning down the chance to stay alive.
No, I'm turning down the chance to join New Prussia.
You could have lied to us.
But not to myself. Not again.
Out. Simon, you get behind the wheel. I'll be back in a minute.
You sure that isn't one of Esmond's drilled toys?
Climb over the barrier and start walking across the fields. Don't turn until you meet a road.
What do you want? A sporting shot?
I'm not going to shoot you. Get walking.
But I made the choice.
The right decision, as it turned out. If you'd grabbed the chance to join us, then we'd have known you were still the opportunist you used to be. Then we'd have shot you.
I don't understand you. I don't understand what you're about.
You may, given time. Goodbye, Lewis.
Pedestrian on the hard shoulder.
Shove the jokes and get in the car. We're going to get the van at the next junction.
You mean you're not going to bounce me again?
Your girlfriend and her brother went to check the association building when you didn't appear. They found old man Petrov locked in the cellar.
You believe the story?
Lewis, get in the bloody car!
Come in.
Good morning, Mr. Farmer.
Done a bit of tidying up?
Moving out, actually.
But there's no need now, is there? Not now the foundation isn't at risk.
The foundation gets to keep the building. All these records, most of the equipment, are mine.
Don't get in a huff, Peter. Being annoyed won't help.
I didn't say I was annoyed. Did Catherine ask you to come?
Oh, Catherine's a bit of a slave to her attitudes, if you see what I mean. It may take her a bit longer to come round.
So if she didn't send you, why are you here?
Damn it, Peter, I'm here to help.
And where were you when I needed it?
Let's not start raking over all that. What's past is past. Look, we had a useful enterprise going here. No reason why we shouldn't be able to rebuild it.
I'm going to rebuild it. But it won't be here. And it won't be as an exercise to give publicity as a return for investment either. It'll be organised for the people who need it.
I'm sorry you look at it this way.
It's your loss, you know.
Maybe.
I understand that those Polish kids got past the roadblock.
They weren't caught, no.
Think they will be?
I don't know. They could be out of the country.
I bet you're not too pleased about that. I suppose you'd like to see them dragged back and brought to justice, eh? Well, I can't stay.
Thanks for calling.
Is there anything you'd like me to say to Catherine?
Oh, I'm sure you'll think of something.
Peter, I've borrowed the car that... Oh, sorry. I didn't realise there was somebody with you.
It's all right, Vicky. Mr. Farmer was just going.
This could be a serious mistake, you know, Peter.
It could be.
Well, I'll be in touch. Probably through Donald Freeman.
Farmer? Is he your father-in-law?
Not for long, by the sounds of it. Freeman's the family lawyer. Divorce may be distasteful, but it's preferable to having a degenerate lefty in the family.
Do you miss her?
Less and less. Can you give me a hand with these files?
In A Resistance to Pressure by Steve Gallagher, the cast was Dr. Peter Lewis, Gareth Armstrong, Inspector Stoker, John Rowe, Sergeant Reed, Michael McStay, David and Mr. Payne, John Church, and Victoria, Jane Knowles. Spelinski, Danny Schiller, Petrov, Brian Haynes, Petrov Jr. and the television editor, Gordon Reed, telephone caller and the television reporter, Peter Baldwin, John Farmer, John Baker, Catherine Lewis, Rowena Roberts, Mrs. Farmer, Eve Karp, Liansky, David Timpson, Mr. Freeman, Lee Harrington, Mrs. Wyndham and Mrs. Freeman, Eva Stewart. The play was directed by Jerry Jones.